You're listening to Veterinary Vertex, a podcast of the AVMA journals. In this episode, we chat about hydromorphone and hedgehogs with our guests, Grayson Doss and Macy Peterson.
Welcome to Veterinary Vertex. I'm Editor-in-Chief Lisa Fortier, and I'm joined by Associate Editor Sarah Wright. Today, we have Grayson and Macy joining us. Grayson and Macy, thank you so much for taking time out of your super busy schedules to be here with us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
All right, let's dive into the fascinating research being performed in zoological companion animal analgesia. Grayson, your JAVMA article discusses how subcutaneous hydromorphone provides antinociception in four-toed hedgehogs. Please share with our listeners the background on this study.
Sure. What we wanted to do is take an opioid that was commonly used in veterinary medicine for analgesia and study it in pet hedgehogs because there wasn't very much out there at all on kind of pain control or analgesia in general in that species. And so hydromorphone seemed like a great drug to look at because it's so widely available currently.
I know too, in like small animal medicine with dogs and cats, hydromorphone can typically be a little bit less expensive too than other options such as methadone. So definitely something interesting to study in the species.
Absolutely. Yeah. It seemed like a no-brainer. And because of the potential for it to last longer than some of the other opioids that are available, it was one that we were interested in and in trying out for sure.
The supplemental videos that you guys have too is a part of this manuscript and your methadone one in AJVR have been very popular on social media too. It's a great way for people to see some of the potential effects they may see with these therapeutics. So thank you for submitting those as well.
Absolutely.
So Grayson and Macy, what were some of the pivotal findings from this study?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things we found was that the hydromorphone provided several hours of analgesia, although it wasn't quite as long as we were expecting, which was something that we had kind of gone into the study off the tails of research with buprenorphine in hedgehogs. We were hoping that it would stick around longer than other species, but we were surprised that it was more comparable to what we see in companion animal like dogs or cats as far as length of duration. So that was, I guess, kind of a pivotal finding. The other thing we found and that Macy found was just the adverse effects, which we also, I guess, kind of expected. But we, coming off of buprenorphine, which we saw very little as far as classic opioid adverse effects, it was a bit surprising. And I would argue that's a pretty pivotal finding.
Yeah, kind of going off of that, kind of seeing, even with our multiple dose study for the hydromorphone, of having the decreased food intake within the first 24 hours and then all, overall with like the 6 days was kind of surprising to us, especially because we didn't see necessarily the same exact findings with our single dose, even though it was a small decrease of food intake for the first 24 for our single dose. It wasn't statistically significant compared to the multiple dose, which was pretty significant. And it was interesting because, like Dr. Doss had mentioned, it wasn't seen in our previous buprenorphine study or with our previous methadone study either.
Go off what Macy said in that the food intake was something that we wanted to look at pretty closely. And I agree with Macy, it was surprising that it did drop. Although when you look at the level of adverse effects that we saw with the higher dose of hydromorphone, even with a single dose, I guess it wasn't entirely surprising because we were giving him three doses within the same day within a short time frame. And so definitely has some clinical relevance on how you use that drug when you're kind of approaching patients.
That's a great point. Grayson, what sparked your research interest in hedgehog analgesia? Was it your own hedgehog or a specific case that you recall?
Sure. We see a good number of hedgehogs where I work at the University of Wisconsin, and there wasn't a whole lot in the literature. It's one of the species, even though they're pretty common pets, and they, I would say they've even gotten even more popular over the past 10 to 15 years. They, very little people are doing any sort of clinical research with them. And so it got to be, it can be very frustrating trying to come up with therapeutic plans, particularly in hedgehogs. And so I saw that as an opportunity and to approach the challenge of developing a way to do clinical research with hedgehogs. And the first thing in my mind that was to tackle that is arguably and probably the top three most important things would be analgesia. And so that's kind of was the thought process behind it, is that it is one of the important things to as vets, we should be able to control pain appropriately or do our best to do it. And so it was tough to argue that we were doing a great job in hedgehogs.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, people outside of the veterinary profession don't realize just how many species we need to see, right? They think dogs, cats, horses, cows. And yeah, exactly. Here we are talking about four-toed hedgehogs and analgesia specifically. So well done to dig into that. You both talked a little bit about your pivotal findings, and I think you used the word interesting and other things. But Macy, was there anything in this study that you're like, wow, I absolutely didn't expect that. We need to look into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think kind of what we alluded to a little bit before was kind of just the duration of antinociception that we did find with the hydromorphone. Although it was, like Dr. Dawson mentioned, was pretty comparable to what other species are, such as cats. We kind of were expecting to kind of see a little bit more of an increase in duration as we had seen with a buprenorphine study that had been performed previously. But I think in terms of other surprising things, kind of also just kind of mentioning the kind of adverse effects kind of again, although they are common and they were pretty transient within less than 3 hours, I think they're still again kind of useful to know and to be able to see and observe. These sort of chewing of the mandibles, as well as kind of paw raising and things like that, which we don't necessarily see in other species. And so it was interesting to be able to see what kind of adverse, quote unquote, adverse side effects are kind of present in these species as well, compared to other species like cats or ferrets and things like that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You seem to both agree on what the quite surprising findings, again, based on your previous experience. Grayson, do you have any insight on these two most interesting findings, why the hedgehog is like that?
Yeah, I think we were looking at hydromorphone through the lens of what we found with buprenorphine, is that it was lasting 36, 48 hours after a single dose, just regular buprenorphine, and so, which is longer than any other species. And so we went into it thinking that hydromorphone would be similar, also methadone. And so finding out that the duration of action was more comparable to very different species was definitely unexpected. And a lot of it has to do probably with drug composition, and it could be way more complex than that. It's way over my head, but it was definitely unexpected and surprising. And the other thing that I found surprising that Macy had mentioned were the adverse effects, particularly for me, would have been the vocalization. And so it's uncommon to hear hedgehogs vocalize in that way. They're a very vocal species. They make a lot of hissing noises and snorting and like clucking sometimes. It's just a defensive. But as far as this kind of high-pitched vocalizing that we saw with opioid administration, that is initially a little unsettling, but you kind of get used to it. It's not something outside the realm of impossibility. If you think about dogs that get opioids, a lot of them will sometimes vocalize. But to hear a hedgehog do it when they're normally pretty quiet, when they're not disturbed, was a little bit unusual. But it did kind of fit what we would expect to see with opioids in other species.
Yeah, it's definitely an eerie sound when you hear that, you know, like, oh, somebody's on an opioid in that ward. Mm-hmm. When else might a hedgehog make that noise, the opioid howl?
Well, they can make several different vocalizations. There's some that they make during like courtship periods when there's They're talking to each other, different sexes, and then there's some noises that they make only when talking to offspring, like during raising young. There's some that they make when they're distressed, and it doesn't fit the vocalizations I've heard when they're distressed necessarily. I have heard that from time to time, but it's almost kind of like its own unique. It's hard for me to classify it into what it's similar to, but it definitely is unique to the vocalizations I've heard before. So
fascinating.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hedgehogs are very cool. So hopefully we have some zoological companion animal lovers listening to this, or just some very curious veterinarians too. It's amazing how many species we can work with.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit off script, but since you've brought up the buprenorphine study and we mentioned the methadone one, between these three different opioids, are there any big take homes that you have for our listeners when they're trying to choose analgesia for the species?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think what we found with buprenorphine, which was published in JAVMA a couple of years ago, it lasted forever after just regular buprenorphine hydrochloride, not extended release or SR, anything like that. And it had very little adverse effects. And so I tend to reach for that very commonly for analgesia. However, as we know from other species, buprenorphine has its limitations when it comes to like moderate or severe level of pain. It may not be the best choice for most species. And so that is one of the reasons why we looked at more of these mu opioid agonists with hydromorphone, with methadone, which has other benefits as well, like on antiemetic benefits. And so they're just much shorter acting. And so, and you also have these adverse effects that don't last very long comparatively. They last similar to what their duration of action would be as far as analgesia. So I'm more likely to reach for these quote unquote stronger opioid choices, these mu agonists, when the level of pain control needs to be a bit higher. So if you're doing more invasive things immediately post-op or pre-op versus buprenorphine, I feel like is a bit more versatile for pain that may not be at that level. And so just because it lasts so long, it's great because you don't have to inject them very frequently. So I think these drugs have their own place in hedgehog medicine surgery. And it's nice to have a few more options, I think, on the table. But that's kind of how I think of it and approach it.
Yeah, thank you. I think they'll be really important for our listeners. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. And then for those of you just joining us, we're discussing hydromorphone and hedgehogs with Grayson and Macy. Grayson, how did your advanced training prepare you to write this manuscript?
Well, I think I was able to have the time to write during my residency. And so that I had mentors that were kind of teaching me. I had mentors before that when I was in vet school and during my internship kind of guide me on scientific writing. But just being able to do a bit more and having a bit more time during my residency to focus on that I think the mentorship on how to really approach writing a scientific manuscript and just the repeated practice helped because it takes a little while to learn, and it's not something that most people can just run right in and write a really solid manuscript on their first go. So it takes me many drafts to do. That's just how I handle it. But that really, the mentors helped me kind of craft my writing style and kind of get it to where I wasn't writing novellas.
Macy and I were talking a little bit about mentorship before everyone else jumped on. And I was definitely in her shoes, actually, at the same stage of my veterinary career when I wrote my first manuscript. So Macy, how has your experience as a veterinary student at UW helped you to prepare to write this manuscript?
Yeah, I think Dr. Doss has played such a really crucial role in this as well, with helping me kind of learn how to write scientifically a little bit more. And kind of, I had previous research experience in undergrad. However, kind of the level in which that is compared to veterinary manuscripts is a different kind of change. So kind of being able to talk with him and kind of discuss how things can be set up, as well as kind of figuring out how to write my own way, is really important. Kind of figuring out really honing in on what's important and kind of getting our point across for what we did in our research and kind of explaining what those details are and being able to extrapolate what our findings are without, you know, crossing any lines or borders or anything like that. So I think he's been a really great help in being able to help me be able to kind of hone in on that and kind of continue to work on it and improve my writing overall.
Excellent. Love to hear that. Now, this next set of questions is really important for our listeners. Grayson, what is one piece of information the veterinarian should know before discussing hydromorphone for pain control in hedgehogs with the client?
Sure. I think I see it mostly as something that's useful perioperatively. I think one thing that clients could see, depending on when the hedgehog goes home, is you might see this kind of trail over of adverse effects. Maybe they're a bit more out of it, or maybe there's more vocalization than you would expect. But you might see a decrease in food intake also. So monitoring for that is something that seems to be common with opioid administration in hedgehogs. So that's something to think about for clients to at least be aware of if they go in for a procedure.
Thank you. And Grayson and Macy, what's one thing clients should consider around hydromorphone use for pain control in their hedgehogs?
Yeah, I think, again, it's kind of just mentioning kind of what Dr. Joss kind of talked about is really watching out for those adverse effects, kind of those hyperactivity vocalizations, and kind of monitoring how long that lasts for. Typically, because hydromorphone, we found that it lasts, depending on the dose, either between 4 to 6 hours, less than that, potentially. And kind of making sure that if there's other adverse that are continue on to either kind of reevaluate with a veterinarian or things like that in case there's something else that's more sinister kind of underlying, especially since this study had been done in healthy hedgehogs, we're unsure how buprenorphine really does affect some of these more sick animals. And so being able to kind of monitor other adverse signs at home is really important for us to kind of continue on to help really monitor and see how this drug kind of works in all of the hedgehogs, both healthy and unhealthy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Macy brings up a good point that this was a healthy population study. And so it wasn't a clinical trial study where we're looking at it in debilitated hedgehogs, which is most of what we're going to see or administer these hydromorphone to in a clinical setting. And so we're not really sure how much more dramatic decreases in food intake or these adverse behavioral effects would last in an animal that may have decreased hepatic function or renal function. And so it's just something to be mindful of as a clinician.
Really, really important clinical data for an alternate species, really. Thank you both again. And Macy, congratulations. It's never, vet school alone is hard enough, but to get a manuscript published while you're in veterinary school is really amazing. Sarah and I want to take the opportunity to promote our journal awards. The nominations for JABMA and AJVR, we have student, intern, and resident awards. We give out 2 awards per category per JABMA and AJVR, and nominations close March 15th. So get your nominations in, everybody. And as we come close in a little bit, we'd like to ask some fun personal questions. So, and this one kind of dates most people, but Macy, what is the first concert you attended?
The first concert I ever attended was actually at Summerfest. So it was kind of a concert of concerts. But the first big person that I went to go see was actually Jason Derulo.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Grace, we'll ask you something a little bit different. Okay. What is the oldest or the most interesting item on your desk drawer?
Wow. I have lots of interesting things in my desk drawer. Let's see. The oldest, I think I actually have some floppy disks in there, which is going to date me for sure.
We like to play. Have you seen this before with Sarah? So Sarah's out of veterinary school by a couple of years, and there's many of us at the AVMA that are much older. So we're like, hey, have you seen this? And floppy disk is one of them.
What's the most interesting?
One thing I always have, and I'm a strong component for zoo vets, is just a good solid headlamp. It's amazing how it really you never really know where you're going to catch yourself and need both hands to get in there. So headlamp, always have headlamp with me.
I would say the same is true for an equine vet.
Makes
sense. Getting some awkward positions.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Very nice. Good advice. And Macy, I think I went to Summerfest many years ago and saw, I think it was Luke Bryant. So I think I was in college. So very familiar. Yeah, fun venue. But just thank you both again for being here today and for submitting your manuscripts to JAVA and AJVR. We really appreciate your time and sharing your knowledge with our listeners.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been great to talk.
And to our listeners, you can read Grayson and Macy's article in print JAVMA or using your favorite search engine. I'm Sarah Wright with Lisa Fortier. We want to thank each of you for joining us on this episode of the Veterinary Vertex podcast. We love sharing cutting-edge veterinary research with you, and we want to hear from you. Be sure to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen to.